Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the 19th chapter of John's Gospel. I'm going to begin reading at the 25th verse. Near the cross stood, or near the cross of Jesus, stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus spoke 7 times from the cross. 3 of these times took place before darkness covered the sky. 1 took place during the darkness. The other 3 after the darkness departed. This morning we come to the 3rd statement that Jesus spoke from the cross. It was a word of compassion. He spoke it just before darkness covered the sun from view. The 3rd word from the cross was spoken to 2 people. His mother Mary and the apostle John. In these words, Jesus told Mary to look upon John as her son, and John to look upon Mary as his mother. The Bible tells us that from that moment, John took Mary into his home, cared for her as his own mother. It's interesting in this story to notice the amazing complexity of both deity and humanity in the life of Jesus. We see this deity humanity in various places. For example, one day, after a hard day, the disciples are in the boat. They're on the way across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is in the stern of the boat asleep. While he's sleeping, a storm comes up. It's amazing to me that he is able to sleep through the storm. I think we had some storms around here last night, didn't we? Did you sleep through them? Or did they wake you up? Well, Jesus was tired. He was asleep. The storm came and he didn't wake up. The disciples became frightened. I've always kind of juggled the idea of the frightened disciples. For one thing, they made their livelihood on this lake, and you would have thought they would have been familiar with the idiosyncrasies of the weather. On the other hand, maybe they knew enough to be scared. And sometimes we just don't know enough to realize what we're in the midst of. But they were scared. Jesus was in the boat. And so they called him, woke him up. He got up, looked around, saw what was going on, stilled the storm. Think about it. When he lay down and went to sleep, he was a man. When he woke up and stilled the storm, he was God. In John 11, Jesus came to the tomb where Lazarus had been buried. The first thing Jesus did was to weep. Throughout Scripture, we see occasions where Jesus shows his compassion. He was concerned about his friend Lazarus. But perhaps he was even more concerned about the family and friends of Lazarus and their loss. And so he wept. One day he was out on the side of the mountain teaching, and there were about 5,000 men, the Bible says, there. So I guess maybe you could add a few women and children to that number. He had compassion upon them. He prayed for them and fed them. When he saw Lazarus, after he wept, he raised him from the dead. On one side, you see the humanity of Jesus, and on the other side, you see the deity of Jesus. Sometimes this whole process is reversed. And first of all, the divinity of Jesus is revealed, and then the humanity of Jesus shines forth. That's what happened today. You remember the word from the cross for last week? It was the word of forgiveness. It was spoken to a dying thief. Today you will be with me in paradise. Something only God can do. Today, in his humanity, he shows his compassion for his mother. Think for a moment about this amazing time on the cross when Jesus took time to provide for his mother. When he took time to deal with her need rather than his own. We get pretty selfish sometimes, don't we? We think about ourselves before we think of others. I know I do. I know I battle my humanity every day. You know that Michelle and I went up to the mountains this week to Pigeon Forge, and Friday and Saturday we went to Dollywood, and we had heard a rumor that Dolly was going to be there, and I'll confirm the rumor, she was. More than that, we got to see her. I've always wanted to see her in person, and now I finally have. And we had a great day. But I have a confession to make. Went to a concert in which we have a couple of friends who are a part of the cast. One of these friends actually attended the same high school that Michelle did, except he was there quite a few years after she was. And we always enjoy hearing them sing and to watch them perform and then to greet them and talk with them after. Well, I was sitting on the end of a row, and there was a guy sitting in a wheelchair right in front of me. And he taped with his phone every bit of that concert. Every time I'd move one way, he'd move the phone over there, holding it up so I couldn't see, and I'd move the other way and he'd move the phone back. And I got a little irritated. And then all of a sudden I realized that this man maybe hadn't seen them as many times as I have. And he was recording it so that he could go home and watch it again. God tapped me on the shoulder. So easy to think about our own needs before we think about the needs of somebody else. But here's Jesus hanging on the cross, and he's thinking about the needs of others. All of those, including us that are involved in my crucifixion, Father, be with them. The man hanging on the cross, Father, be with him. His mother, be with her. He is the master of every situation, which means that on the cross he is still the master. In the midst of the most awful suffering that any person could ever endure, Jesus paused to remember his mother. Among other things, it reveals his obedience to the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Well, Jesus kept all of the commandments, and he kept them all the time, even on the cross. I think maybe the songwriter said it better than I ever could. He had no tears for his own sins, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The perfect, sinless Christ revealed the depth of his obedience to God in his third statement from the cross. Sometimes those of us who are sinners, and we all are, want to excuse the sin that we commit and blame it on others or circumstances or whatever. We cop out. Even in the horrible moments of the cross, Jesus did not cop out. He never wavered in living godly, proper, and holy. And in the end, even while he was dying, he still thought about others. Everything that Jesus did on the cross that day, he did for you and me. The pain, the suffering, the acceptance of sin, his rejection and death, he did it all for you. He did it all for me. So as we look at this story today, there are three things that I want us to consider. First of all, I want us to consider Jesus' mother at the cross. I'm so blessed to be a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, and as of 2 weeks ago, a great-great-grandfather. What a blessing to be a parent. But I'm told that there's something about being a mother. That is beyond anything I could ever comprehend or ever experience. And so for those of you here this morning who are mothers, I commend you. I thank God for you. I thank God for a mother's heart. I'm so grateful for my own mother, for the way that she had to be mother, father, sister, brother to me. Mary was Jesus' mother. As such, she was an honorable woman. You remember the story. An angel came to her, announced to her that she was going to have a child, that she would give birth to the Son of God. And that angel began by speaking to her and saying, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I think it would say that to all mothers. You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. What an example Mary shows for motherhood, standing by her son at the hour that's more horrible than we could even imagine. A son who had been falsely accused and was being falsely crucified. At a time when most everybody else turned away from him, Mary was there. Motherhood carries an incredible, tremendous responsibility. I think every godly mother feels this responsibility for her children and sees them as gifts from God. I think no matter how difficult a path mothers have to trod, if they're living for the Lord, they'll do their very best for their children. Pay any price, bear any pain, accept any shame. And so we see Mary standing there, brokenhearted, grieving, as she watches her son die. I don't think there's any way we could measure the pain that Mary felt that day. Let me move away from the story for a moment. There are those in this congregation this morning who are hurting. Those here today who are suffering. The good news is that just as Jesus didn't forget his mother, he's not going to forget you and me. He's never too busy, never too preoccupied to overlook our needs. He sees our hearts, he knows our thoughts. The burden we think we're carrying alone, but he shoulders it with us and carries it for us. If you're hurting this morning, Jesus cares. He's here for you. In every story, there are words that give us pause to stop and reflect. And then we sometimes wonder why that word and not another one is used. Did you notice how Jesus addressed his mother? In this passage, he didn't call her mom. He didn't even call her mother. He called her woman. Did you ever wonder why? I'm not sure. But I think maybe in this moment he transitioned out of his humanity and into his deity and revealed to Mary that he was not dying as her son on earth, but as her eternal Savior. His relationship to him at that moment was not just as his mother, but something more important than that. He was addressing her as a sinner in need of a Savior, just as we are. Fast forward into the book of Acts, and you'll find Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with the other disciples in the upper room waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. No doubt she was there when the Spirit fell. Like the others, experienced the full joy of the salvation that Jesus purchased even for her, his mother, there on the cross. Well, we've looked a little bit about the man on the cross and the mother at the cross, and there's one more person that we need to look at this morning, and that's the man who stood by the cross. His name was John. He was called the beloved disciple. Ever wonder why he was called the beloved disciple? Maybe because he was so full of love. We've known people in our lives that just absolutely overflowed with love and compassion for other people. Now, Jesus spoke to John from the cross as well. Jesus had compassion for his mother and gave John the duty of caring for his mother as if she were his own mother because of the compassion he showed to others. Compassion. How beautiful it is. I'm so grateful that I have people in my life, some that I see every day, some that I see very seldom, some that I hear from through texts and emails who have compassion for me and who care for me and who lift me up. Somehow it's amazing how God can communicate to somebody that somebody else needs some compassionate care and they offer it. I was having a pretty hard day a few weeks ago. Just out of the blue, a friend of mine texted me all of the words of what a friend we have in Jesus. No explanation other than God put you on my heart today and here are all of the words. And it came just when it needed to come. And then sometimes God uses us to offer compassion to somebody else. I got an email last week from a friend that in response to an email that I had sent her. And at the end of the email that I sent her, I made the statement, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I got an email back, and the email said, I-R-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-A-L-L-Y needed to hear that today. I really needed to hear that today. Compassion. The man at the cross was compassionate. He was compassionate enough about Jesus to be there. The Bible says in various places that most of the disciples had fled. But we know John was there. We know three women were there. We don't have anybody else named that was there to support that day. John was in the minority. No one was with him. He was in harm's way. It might have cost him his life, but he was near enough to hear from Jesus. No matter what's going on, we need to stay near enough to Jesus to hear from him. I wonder Can Jesus count on us like he counted on John? Will we stand for him even if we're in the minority, even if it's costly to us in our personal relationships or our business or our family? Will we stay close enough to him that he can speak to us in the midst of difficulty or speak through us into somebody else's pain and suffering? John completely, obediently, and immediately accepted the command from Jesus, and from that hour took Mary into his home. Tradition says, some of the ancient writers say, that John never left Jerusalem until after Mary's homegoing. Kept the command of God to the very end. Now he went on and did many wonderful things. He wrote a gospel, 3 epistles, the book of Revelation. But of all the things that he did, perhaps the most important was this one. And the reason why is it came as a direct request and in direct from Jesus and in direct obedience to that task. John was faithful. John was compassionate. Are we compassionate? Are we faithful? Are we right where we need to be so that God can provide for us and God can use us? Can he trust us to do whatever it takes? An anonymous poet wrote these words as if they were the words of Jesus coming directly to us. Jesus says, "I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men and women in the way. I have no tongue but your tongue to tell them that I died and rose again to forgive their sin and to heal their land. I have no help but your help to show compassion to others." What a word. What a word. It's a word of compassion from Jesus to us and through us to others. Amen.